Rodgers in trouble. It's going to get there. He turned 32 yesterday. Does he have a vintage moment in it? In the end zone, it is caught for the win. Richard Rodgers with a walk-off touchdown. A game ender for the Packers.
Welcome to the Glass Half Empty podcast on the Big Lead. I'm Ryan Glasspiegel. We are joined by Bo Ryan, longtime coach of the Wisconsin Badgers, and I am very honored to have him on this podcast. I'm a Wisconsin alum. Bo was made available by the American Cancer Society. He's going to be coaching against Jim Calhoun in Coaches versus Cancer. You and your wife, Kelly, recently donated $500,000 to the American Cancer Society to establish the Coaches versus Cancer Bo Ryan Jay Holiday Families Fund in memory of your longtime friend who passed away of pancreatic cancer in January. Can you tell me about your work with the American Cancer Society and what the Coaches versus Cancer game is going to amount to?
Sure, Ryan. And it's nice to know that you're a Wisconsin alum. We got involved with Coaches versus Cancer when it first started, and I was at the University of Wisconsin-Platteville, a Division III school, and then continued working with them and working with them now, even after being retired. Norm Stewart was basically, when he was diagnosed with cancer almost three decades ago, then the Coaches Association, we started as our charity of choice, the American Cancer Society. So we've, in Madison alone, at our galas, we've raised over $6 million. And you know, it all goes towards research and for trying to find a cure for this dreaded disease. As we all know it, there have been some improvements. There have been better treatment, early detection, things like that. But we still haven't gotten to the source. So that's why we need to keep doing these fundraisers. And my college roommate, who we stayed in touch every year, we saw each other two or three times a year, was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer almost 3 years ago. And actually, he lasted longer, was with us longer than expected. So we valued every day that that he was here with us. So we're trying to continue the fight. And my wife and I had $500,000 set aside in our will for Coaches versus Cancer, and we realized what good's that doing right now. Let's put the money to use and do some research with it. So put it towards research. So that's what we've decided to do. And there's also a gala on April 7th in Madison to raise even more money to try to match what we've given. And they have some interesting items. There's a live auction item if anybody wants to go to that. It's Coaches versus Cancer, Madison or Wisconsin Gala. And one of the things, Ryan, I don't know if you're a car guy, but I believe there were only five convertible Corvettes that were made in a particular year. And I'm not a car guy.
I don't even have a car, let alone being a car guy.
Well, the gentleman donated this Corvette as an auction item. So I know there's a lot of people that were trying to get one of these cars, and it was obviously a limited edition when you only have five. So anyhow, that's one of the auction items, which was a very nice gesture by one of our big donors. So we're excited about the gala, and we're excited also, Ryan, about the Hardwood Heroes game. Infinity sponsors that through Coaches versus Cancer, and I'm coaching against Calhoun, I think, as you mentioned, and it's so inspirational. It's free. It's on Friday, about 10 o'clock in the Alamo Dome, and on the court that the teams will be playing on. And they're all cancer survivors that overcame quite a few obstacles to be able to physically run up and down the court. So we did it last year in Phoenix. We're looking forward to doing it in San Antonio. And it's the public's welcome. It's right before the practices start on Friday, tomorrow. So thanks for asking, Ryan.
Yeah, I was going to talk about the Hardwood Heroes game because it's pretty – for me, as I said, I'm a Wisconsin grad – and I grew up in Connecticut, so yourself and Jim Calhoun coaching a game against each other is pretty, like, meta for me.
Are you going to go with your heart, Ryan, or are you going to go with your pocketbook?
I don't know what my heart or pocketbook, I don't know which is which, but I think, look, if UConn played Wisconsin in basketball at this point in my life, I would definitely root for Wisconsin. I don't know that I can choose between you and Coach Calhoun. That's kind of a reverse King Solomon conundrum that I really am not going to put myself on the spot for.
He's one of the few guys that can out-talk a guy from Chester, Pennsylvania.
So
Calhoun can do that.
There's no easy way to make a U-turn from talking about cancer to talking about your life in basketball, but I wanted to bring up one of the things that we always heard announcers talk about when we were watching Wisconsin game, which is that your teams consistently made more free throws than the opponent attempted. How do you, from like a mechanical perspective in practice and training camp and throughout the year, how do you emphasize into your players a discipline of playing offense and defense in this strategy?
Well, I think there's a few things, and you know, I'd have to send you to a concentration camp if I told you everything, because you can't, you know, I couldn't have you telling everybody else. You know what I mean?
Does that mean your plan? Segue. Does that mean you're coming back?
Ryan, it was a joke. It was a joke. I'm going to tell you a couple things. Number one, the way that you commit fewer fouls than the other team is very simply: don't get out of position, don't leave your feet, don't reach in, don't do the fouls that are caused by lack of discipline and using your head. How many times during a game do you see guys committing fouls and you go, what kind of a foul was that? So if you use your feet more, if you get into positions, you pinch and take away driving lines and get your rotations down and you have unselfish players, you can be a pretty good defensive team. And I've coached defense, obviously, on all levels, because I coached in junior high, high school, Division III, NAIA, and Division I. It works on every level. The other thing is, you know, it's really important, say like in the first half, if you can go through 20 minutes of basketball without one reach-in foul, that's pretty good, because the reach-in fouls are the ones that get other teams into one-on-ones and the two-shot bonus. And so if you can eliminate those, you're going to end up being in pretty good shape from the standpoint of limiting your opponent's free throws. So how do you get more for your team? Shot fakes, jump stops, ball fakes. It sounds like old school. It sounds like the old YMCA games. But they still work. Because you get people to leave their feet. You draw from the three-point line fouls. You can get a four-point play or shoot three free throws. So offensively, you need to be creative. You need to be able to be in position to put the defense at a disadvantage. Another thing, Ryan, is you've got to touch the post. Most fouls are committed 15 feet and in. Because the good teams aren't going to foul you very often at the three-point line. So that's another way where you can get to shoot more free throws. And then you made the point, well, how do you get them in practice or training camp or whatever to make them? Well, we did a lot of games, a lot of free throw games. And a lot of coaches do it where you end practice where you have to make every drill we did with free throws, we had to be 80% or better. And that really helped. The other thing I think that really helped us too was that, you know, you have guys who care and guys who understand it's called a free throw for a reason. And the ability to concentrate, the ability to get good form, proper rotation, arc on the ball, things like that. Our coaches, I was very fortunate over the years that I was in coaching to have assistants who were great teachers. All the coaches that I've had over the years were all guys who could teach the game, and that's also why it was nice to hear people say that they loved watching our players develop. Because they got better from the time they got in to the time they left, and that improvement obviously helps the team perform pretty well. So there it is in a nutshell.
That makes a lot of sense. So you finished your career at Wisconsin with two Final Four berths. The season I think that got away was 2006-2007. You guys had Alondo Tucker, Cameron Taylor, Joe Krabbenhoff, Brian Butch, Michael Flowers, Jason Chappell, et cetera, et cetera. And you got to number one in the nation, and in one of the more excruciating basketball injuries I've ever seen, Brian Butch shattered his elbow in a 1-versus-2 game versus Ohio State. It's a back-and-forth game. You ended up losing it by one, and the team couldn't really recover after that, and they went out in the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. If Brian Butch doesn't get injured, do you feel that that is like a Final Four or even national championship caliber team?
Because Brian Butch became so solid and was such a factor inside and out that he created problems for any team defensively. Now, I don't know if you remembered, we came back and had one more home game, and we beat Michigan State on a last-second shot by Cam Taylor, and that was our last regular season game. But losing Brian Butch, if we were able to get through, it's kind of like Purdue with Haas. If we were able to get through that first weekend, UNLV ended up beating us. If we got through that weekend, Brian would have been, they would have cleared him that next week to play.
Oh, wow.
But there's no way in the world coaches nowadays have any say about whether or not a guy is physically able to get on the court. So it was our medical staff, and they do a great job at Wisconsin. And they said he was not ready, and Brian understood that. And but that was a pretty good team. That was a really good team. Anytime you get ranked number one in the nation, they had to do something right. So, yeah, but we can't get that back, Ryan. But those guys had a great experience, and they know in life, as they've started to raise families and move on in their professions, they've realized that things like that happen in life. And you just got to keep moving on.
With regards to that team, I was really surprised that Alondo Tucker didn't have a more prolonged run in the NBA. The way that he was able to create his own shot with drives, I thought that that was going to translate more to the next level. And I don't mean any disrespect to these guys by saying this, but when I was watching them at Wisconsin, I always thought that Alondo Tucker was going to have a longer NBA career than, say, John Luer or Greg Steensma. Were you surprised that he didn't endure more there?
No, there's so many factors, Ryan, that go into what team you're drafted to, who they have at your position. Alondo Tucker's game, scoring over 2,000 points for us at Wisconsin, was a product of the system and his teammates. And it worked very well on the collegiate level, but he's like several other guys coming out that were first-round picks, that he was a tweener, so to speak, And, you know, he still played for 3 or 4 years and then made good money overseas. And he's at the University of Wisconsin now working with student athletes. And he's done really well. He's a first-class individual and somebody I'm really proud of to have been able to spend 4 or 5 years with him.
So the Wisconsin team this year, they had some injuries, but even beyond that, I think they were a little bit disappointing. You mentioned earlier how everybody loved to see the players develop over the 3 or 4 years they were Badgers. I don't know that we saw that as much with the players who were upperclassmen this year. Do you think that this was just an unfortunate blip that the injuries messed up the depth, or are you at all concerned for the direction of the team over the next few years?
No, the team will be fine. You take two athletes like Trice and Kobe King, and I had seen them early at the Hall of Fame Classic, and those two guys were difference makers with the other parts of the team, with Ethan Happ and the other guys, and some of the other guys were young, and they're going to be fine. And, you know, it was bad timing with the schedule that they had. They had a very good schedule, very tough schedule, and when you're young, you know you gotta, some things have to fall in place, and that happened to us a few times. In 2005, 2006 season, and also my first season at Wisconsin, 2001, 2002, where you just have to hope that you can get through healthy and that the main parts aren't missing. So what was happening was Kobe was getting better every practice, and you have to remember they went on a foreign trip, so they were actually ahead for a young team. It was a perfect time for a foreign trip. But again, youth and injuries, that's not a good combination. But it also points out how tough it is to have the streak that Wisconsin had of whatever, what was it, 19, 20 years?
Whatever it was a lot.
Tournament. Huh?
I don't know the exact number off the top of my head either, but it was a lot. And then,
so I was proud of them. I was proud of how hard they played. They played everybody tough at the end of the year as the season was winding down. So,
Brad Davison he was the real silver lining of this season because he's a force, and it's going to be really fun to watch him develop over the next 3 years.
Yeah, who did you just say?
Brad Davison.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, he's heady. Tough. The fans at Wisconsin have been fortunate to have several of those guys that they've fallen in love with. Guys like Mike Kelly, Michael Flowers, Josh Gosser, guys like that who dive on the floor, Jason Bohannon.
Ben Brust.
You know, Ben Brust. Yeah, and I'm leaving out some, so I'll stop right there. The fans have been fortunate to be able to go to a game and know that they got guys diving on the floor, taking charges, playing hard. Or at least that's what I hear from the fans that I run into.
So I know Wisconsin hasn't ever kind of lit up the boards as terms of recruiting like five-star rivals people. I know you guys got Brian Butch and Sam Decker, but then there are players like Frank Kaminsky who got cut from his AAU team right before you recruited him. Could you have ever envisioned that he would wind up developing into the basketball player that he did?
Well, you know, anybody that would tell you that for sure, they would be lying. But Frank wanted to be a good player. He had great guidance when he was younger with his parents, who were good athletes. And, you know, he was a driven young man who was intelligent, grasped everything, and just kept working every day. So he had a vision for himself, and he's realized that vision and wants more. He still wants to be better and still works hard. So, you know, Brian Blitz was a McDonald's All-American, and I'm the only guy in the country ever to redshirt a McDonald's All-American. But he wasn't ready physically. There's no way, anybody that's ever asked me, there's no way in the world he was ready physically to compete. And it worked out great because in 2008, we won the Big Ten Championship, both the tournament and the regular season. So Brian had a good career. Some guys, a lot of the players that we had who ended up being starters and being on real good teams were guys that only had one or two scholarship offers, with us being one of them.
So I was in the stands for the loss against Duke, and that still hurts me. Every time I see Grayson Allen or every time I see a foul call that I think is questionable, it brings back PTSD. How do you get over something like that?
Well, what you do is, first of all, you got to understand you're working with young people, so get them to be able to handle it and move on and understand what a great season they had and how proud they made the people at the University of Wisconsin and the state of Wisconsin, the alums and their families, and they did a lot of good things. So, you know, in life you gotta take those too, and when things happen that we didn't particularly care for and you can't change them, then what you do is you just deal with the hurt. And if it didn't hurt a little bit, then that means you didn't care.
That hurt a lot bit.
Yeah. Well, you can imagine how they felt. But they're all doing fine. They're all doing their thing, so to speak. And, you know, there's only one team that can walk away. People asked about our four national championships at Platteville, and I said the one thing you feel is when you walk away is that there are no more opponents. So that feels pretty good. But when you lose along the way in the tournament or whatever, you know, it's kind of like what if, or but you can only do that for so long. Life just moves too fast.
All right. I know you're busy. I'm going to get you out of here on this. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. So when you retired, there were some reports about a little bit of friction with Barry Alvarez, the way that you I guess he might have perceived that you foisted Greg Gard on him because you wanted him to be your successor. We talked about Frank Kaminsky. It was weird to see him get honored on the court at the Kohl Center without you there. Do you envision in the next year or two that you'll be back there?
Ryan, that's me being in California playing in a golf tournament with guys that I had committed to, and, you know, those are it. That was a thing that popped up in a shorter period of time, so there really wasn't any plans. I had already had plans, and by the way, we did win the tournament.
So congratulations on that. But
fine. No, that had nothing to do with it. Don't read any of that into it.
But that being said, you have not returned to the Kohl Center yet since your retirement.
No, I haven't. Red and white scrimmage practices. But when I'm in my retirement house, it's kind of hard to be there. You know, you can't be two places at once.
Okay, but I'd like to see you get honored on the court.
Cancer people knocking on my door. I'm supposed to at 10 o'clock be doing a filming here, so I'm gonna have to jump on you, Ryan.
Okay, well, I'd like to see you get honored on the court. Thank you very much for your time, and hopefully we'll do this again sometime soon.
Okay. All right, thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it.
All right, bye.
Okay, take care.
Stranger, will you notice? distant strange.